Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
7:05, very excited for our conversation today on Kaya Biz Careers Corner. My next guest is a doyen of her industry insofar as human resources, talent, building your career goes, and has as a vet in the industry. Zanele Luvuno is Managing Director of Metamorphosis Integrated Solutions. It's going to help us figure out the effects of favoritism, nepotism, and the abuse of authority by senior management. I think most of us in almost any sector can identify with this. Obviously, we were alerted to it after the rumors we spoke about with that telco company last week. Again, I want to just stress the board has cleared him of any wrongdoing, but it raised a bigger question for us, which was, you know, does one have to go to such extremes as whistleblowing to the Sunday Times or to Bloomberg if you've got an issue with your boss? Should there not be processes inside the business that allow you to lay a complaint and raise an issue? But what we find with power balances, I imagine, is that when it's somebody very senior or somebody who's very lucrative to the business, certainly in my experience, that person gets protected. So Zanele is joining us today to help us understand these things. Zanele, welcome to Kaya Biz. It's wonderful to be speaking to you on air again.
Hi, Rufilo, and to your audience, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. So you've seen this from very senior executive search and coaching. Is this still an issue that happens to very senior people, like we heard in the rumors last week, on a regular basis, as much as it did at the beginning of our careers? Or do you sometimes think that people have just got sour grapes and maybe, you know, jelly spines in the workplace?
So you know what? It is definitely happening, and it is happening more so than ever. The reason being, people are under enormous amounts of pressure in the workplace. But I think that it's a little bit of both, because I don't think that it's always intentional, right? So we all have unconscious bias towards particular things. And though that bias influences our decision-making, right? It makes us favor certain individuals based on affinities, similar backgrounds, shared interests, you know, or sometimes we just have close personal relationships or friendships with a colleague or, you know, between a manager and employee. And so it can also result in the perception of preferential treatment. And so sometimes when an organization doesn't have clear standardized processes and for evaluating such things or communicating such things, then it can lead to what we're seeing a lot of. And by the way, I'm doing a lot of leadership development work in this space at the moment. It's not just one company. Yeah. People under pressure, executives are struggling with cohesion. So it's both an internal issue, but also a function of just how fast-paced and how much the market has changed.
It's so interesting that you mentioned the being under pressure. I always remember the story. I was working in New York during the big meltdown of 2008. And a client asked me, who'd been in the game for 25 years, how are you doing? I said, I'm just keeping my head down and working hard. And he said, Rufilo, let me tell you something. In 30 years of being in emerging markets, I can tell you every time there's a crisis, the person who gets retrenched is not the person not working hard. It's the person who beeps you off the most.
Hundreds.
Now what are the signs? What are the signs of, okay, I'm not cohesive enough to help the company move forward or the team move forward in a stressful situation, or this guy's just lazy to get to know me?
Yeah, but what are you doing to get, you know, what are you doing to get them to know you? So unfortunately, yes, it is important that you put your head down and you do what's meant to be done, but you don't always get a trophy for that. You know, it's not like how in high school these days or in school this day, everybody gets a prize.
No.
So it all have this perception that the world is a fair place and the world is meant to be fair. And, you know, if I'm putting my head down, somebody's going to notice. Well, what are you doing to make sure that somebody's going to notice? I spoke a bit about it earlier. People have got affinity bias. Mm. You know, I'm going to pull into my projects, right? The person who has a similar thinking style to me. I'm going to put into my projects. We went to school together. We think the same. We speak the same. I like the way the person looks when they come into work. I mean, I don't know what your criteria are, but I think it's a little bit naive to think that it is enough to just get to work, put your head down and do the work that needs to be done. And so it's really up to individuals, right, to get themselves together and start working on personal development and self-development, because your organization's not going to train you on that.
Okay.
If they're going to pour money into you, they're going to pour money into making your technical skills better. But your technical skills are not what's going to get you, right, to keep your job if they're retrenching.
Right.
Or necessarily, or not your technical skills alone.
Correct.
I should say. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, we can all say be a team player. I mean, I think you are the best position to help me understand this. Let's, in the context of all of us having personal biases, you said it's up to the individual. Let's start with the individual who is the leader. And I'm sure you've done a lot, as you say, you've done this with leadership workshops. What are some of the objective tools you might be able to give me to help me prevent my own biases? You know, in terms of making the assessment of the team as impartial as possible?
So it doesn't really start at the point where we're looking at tools. If you would allow me,
yes.
I'd like to take it like a little step back, because it really starts at the culture of the organization you're in,
right?
Every culture's got a culture and it's got a subculture, right? We're talking about discretionary behavior here, because these types of things are happening at a discretionary behavior level, right? What everybody's doing when the boss isn't looking, or when the customer's not looking, or when the public's not looking, or your colleague's not looking, et cetera, right? And so it's about the culture of the organization that you're in. That has to be in place. And it can't be contributing to toxicity. I think after that, you need effective leadership. You know, it sets the expectation for behavior. It provides the necessary support for the individuals in the business, and it models what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. So when the correct behavior isn't being modeled, it's going to be matched by this pervasive toxicity that we're seeing.
Zanele, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Hi, I'm so sorry. In 20 plus years in employment, most of the toxicity that employees I've experienced, be it friends, colleagues in the workplace, that frustrate them about a favoritist leader is, one, a leader that does not embody the stated culture, that does not pull weight as much as the workers are expected to, is not meritocratic, for example, with who actually did the work, you know, sometimes claiming work that's not their own. I feel as though I hear you on the, what the culture should be, but I feel as though when we get to this favoritism and these pillars that you speak of creating the appropriate work environment are normally the ones that are failing under that leader when this complaint is raised in a fair and justifiable way.
100%. So look, the pillars that you're looking for, you want adequate communication in the workplace, right? So people need a place to go to kind of express what their frustrations are. You need accountability within the organization, right? Bad behavior can't be tolerated. You need to manage equitable treatment, right? So make sure that equitable treatment is being rolled out within the business, because otherwise people become resentful. But I think the most important thing is that there's a lack of training. There is insufficient training on interpersonal skills, conflict resolution. You know, organizations just don't put the money into it. They only do it when it's a crisis.
Yes.
Right? When we're at crisis point, and I'm not talking about internal crisis. Sometimes it's like, oh gosh, we look terrible to the public.
Or seven executives. I mean, this was an unfortunate thing several years ago with the ABSA CEO that had come from the Reserve Bank, the former deputy governor, sort of a mutiny from very senior people. Again, the power rests with senior people and all those bringing in the revenue. Can I touch on something that you just mentioned about accountability? My sense is that in South African, in many corporates, but in particular, certainly more South African, where it's less litigious and more relationship built within a corporation, human resources or human capital departments have been proven to be extraordinarily ineffective, largely because they report usually to the very person making the toxic decisions, as opposed to reporting to the board, which I would think is a more independent position to be in. Would you advocate for human resources in order to be effective to report to the board?
Absolutely. 100% agree with you. So I think the thing I was about to say is the problem most people know, it's fine. Most people can't actually go and report. You know, I spoke about adequate communication, accountability, all that kind of stuff, but who are you actually going to go report it to? And this is why I said that you almost have to take it into your own hands, if you can, to work out what work do I need to do, like what self-development work do I need to do to be able to function and show up in a particular way, in a particular environment, fully understanding the environment. Because very often what we're told the environment is, the culture, and what it actually is, the subculture, are two totally different things. So what do you then do once you get there, right? And, you know, they told you all their values and all the goodies, but then you get there and what you're experiencing is not that. Who's actually going to get you out of that other than yourself?
I have to commend MTN on this. I thought that was, I said this on the breakfast show as well, this was extraordinarily swift. The board stepped in, ran a review. The CEO was opaque, sorry, not opaque, excuse me, transparent, sent an email to the business. I've handed it over to the board to be investigated by them. And they gave an answer as quickly as possible, very limited market impact beyond fundamentals. And we can just get on with business. I think it's an example. But unfortunately, if you're in middle management, the board's not getting involved.
And no, it's not.
You know,
it's not the thing, Rufilwe. It's the board's not getting involved. But what about I think I did a series on my social media probably 2 weeks ago, and I said people that if you're having a problem at work, you've got to start documenting it, right? Yes. Stop going and having conversations with people. Put it in writing. When you finish putting it in writing, go and escalate the issue, right? Put in writing that you've escalated the issue, because you want to create some kind of recordial of everything that you've been to, because at the end of the day, you do have legal recourse. It is available to you, and you can take it up, right? But you're going to struggle if you don't have a history of what's happened in that particular environment.
And that history has to be quite specific, right? As opposed, I remember a friend actually advising me when I was going through a difficult situation, saying to me, when you record, please don't write down things about, like, it made me feel sad that they didn't hold the door for me. It's very clear. What is not company policy? What is company policy? I didn't like the way he spoke to me in the cafeteria is not one of the things. And that's got to be quite specific. It must hold up at least to policy, if not regulation and law.
100%. Like dates,
Yes.
Dates, people that were present, correspondence related, a recordial of the correspondence, that kind of thing. Because what you're trying to do is show a pattern of behavior over a period of time, right?
Yes.
So you're building a case to show a pattern of behavior. And I would, keep that to myself while 100%. You're building. Right. Yeah, I was trying to work out the correct way to say
hold
that.
It. No, hold your cards to your chest, because the risk here, and this will probably be our closing parting shot. The risk here, and I think this is why so many do not speak up, and so many are fearful of some kind of retribution, is being painted
victimization,
being painted as not a team player, being painted as a whinger, being painted as a millennial, which, by the way, I am proudly, and millennials, also. Be careful not to create a toxic environment where it's just a whinge fest amongst colleagues. Just keep it to yourself. Yours is a singular line. Yeah.
No, and get on with it. And also the other thing, just sorry.
No problem.
To what you were saying, you know, this whole team player thing does not mean self-sacrifice, right? You are a member of that team. You are an important person. You look after yourself. It is nobody else's responsibility but your own to look after yourself. And I think very often we have this sort of like paternalistic relationship with our workplace, right? They're not your parent. They're not your, you know, you're a member of a team.
Yes.
This idea of we're a family. Families can be toxic, right?
Yes.
You have people that pull their weight and people that don't pull their weight. You have people that expect others to fix things for them. You've got all sorts of dynamics within a family. And so we sometimes confuse our work environment with this family culture thing. And I call, I don't know what
on
the word
it.
Is.
I agree.
I call on it. It's a team. In a team, the striker does his job. The goalie does his job. You know, there's a referee who's supposed to do a different job. There are rules to the game. And I look at workplace in that type of environment, like in that type of light.
I think that's an excellent point. It's not a place of self-sacrifice, and Pizza Fridays is not actually compensation.
No.
Zanele Luvuno, always a pleasure to hear your perspectives. There's another piece that I want to speak to you about around how do we actually get appreciated for our excellence beyond race and gender. We'll bring that one to another careers corner in the future, but thank you for helping us understand Phaedra.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.